Our gospel reading today is a continuation of a reading through the gospel account of our Savior's life according to Luke, the only Gentile author of the Bible. And we're in chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Which of you has a friend who will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God serving as the basis of our meditation has been written by the Holy Spirit through the evangelist Luke, the only Gentile writer of the Bible, where we are hearing our Savior's journey to the cross and all that he does on his way in many and different ways. As he preaches and teaches, lives are being changed. Thinking about preaching, a congregation was going through the process of selecting a pastor, and they finally landed their new one, and he gave his first sermon, and it was out of the park. People loved it. The elders were thankful. And then he preached his second sermon, and it was the same sermon. And taken back by it a little bit, they thought, okay, well, that's good. It's good to hear it again. And then the third Sunday and the fourth Sunday, and then it became time for the first elders' meeting. And the elders were getting plenty of feedback about the same sermon Sunday after Sunday. And the pastor responded by saying, "Well, when the congregation starts living out that first sermon, I'll move to the next topic and we'll work on that one next." You know, we can laugh at that, but who preaches to you the most? Or do you think about preaching as something that happens somewhere else than at 6565 Independence Parkway? I mean, it is an old saying, it's easier to preach 10 sermons than it is to live one. But whether we are aware of this or not, we do a lot of preaching. In fact, the one who preaches to you the most is you. Although we're not used to thinking about preaching that way. We call it talking to ourselves or self-care, self-talk. But it's preaching. Do you rightly divide long gospel or do you just beat yourself up? Do you let the law have your whole life or do you also talk to yourself and share the good news of what it means to be forgiven? I mean, we're not used to thinking about our self-care that way, but we really are preaching to ourselves. And at the risk of sounding like it's the same sermon from last Sunday, we're going to spend a little time in Luke chapter 10 before we tackle the Lord's Prayer, because it's really important to think about how these are connected. Keep in mind, preaching isn't even an option. It's only a question of the kind of sermons we preach to ourselves. And you know, we don't just preach to ourselves, we preach to the people around us as well. Sermons of law and gospel, sermons of sin and grace. And we get a lot of preaching elsewhere that comes at us day in and day out. How do we tune out the bad and hold on to the good? How does that work? Well, I want us to consider the classic case of poor preaching. I mean, it starts out okay, but then the sermon gets really bad. And that's where we have to go back to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It's short. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, his preaching. I'm sure it was really good. Why wasn't Martha there? Well, she wanted to entertain Jesus and the disciples and the other guests that she had in her home. I mean, it's okay to do good works. And she wants to provide and care for everybody, but what's happening? What kind of sermon is she preaching to herself? How is she throwing herself under the bus? How is it getting worse and worse and worse for her? So it gets so bad as she talks to herself, as she meditates on the unfair treatment, as she takes to heart the blatant neglect that obviously she's receiving. She can't just preach to herself anymore. She has to engage the whole congregation in her home. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. I mean, she drew a lot of conclusions that weren't necessarily true, but she was convinced of them. Her self-talk was so confident. And then Jesus gets to preach to her. Martha, Martha. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. So Jesus preaches the law, invites her to receive the gospel. Although she's all keyed up, trying to foment the crowd for her side. And what does Jesus say? Mary has chosen the one thing needful. This is a fundamental thing in marriage, in parenting, in grandparenting. This is a fundamental thing in driving around the Metroplex. In order for us to be able to serve in hope, peace, joy, and love with a sense of peace, we need to be served often by Jesus. The one thing needful in your life and my life is to realize that we really need to be served often by Christ if we're going to make a difference and not just become sour and vicious and in trouble with ourselves and in the people around us. This is fundamental, because the way that Martha treated herself was not in a Christian fashion. The way that Martha treated the congregation in her home, including Jesus, was not godly. And yet Jesus could handle it. At least she was praying to the right one, even if it was a complaint and an accusation. At least she was talking to the right one who could answer her prayer and help her like no one else could. The quickest way for me to get to my wife is Jesus. The quickest way for me to get to my kids is Jesus. The quickest way for me to get to you is Jesus. And that's not just me, that's you. The one thing needed is that we need to be served by Jesus often. And he doesn't criticize or complain about you to his Father ever. He loves you. He loves spending time with you. He loves working with you, even if you ignore him. He loves to hang out with you all the time. There's nothing better for him to do. He loves you. And he wants you to talk with him, even as you talk with yourself, even as you preach to yourself. And why is this important? Because the people, places, and things in your life and my life are important to us. We care about them. But isn't it crazy how our care can go off the rails? Here's the challenge with the people, places, and things in your life and my life. Our sinful nature preys on our minds over the issues of our lives. P-R-E-Y, prey, like bird of prey that attack to kill to eat to be nourished. Our sinful nature preys on us. It wants to kill and eat us and devour us. And it's not like the people, places, and things in your life and my life are bad. It's just that our sinful nature can process what's going on in our hearts and minds in our lives. Unhealthy ways. Prey on us. I mean, isn't it amazing? You get married and then the things about marriage prey on you, consume you, and then you're not sure why you married who you married. Or the kids, the beautiful little kids you have, and then you start thinking, man, I see why people want to kill their kids. Because it preys on us. How often do we miss that? And we just let our thoughts consume us in all kinds of ways. There's been a lot of brain research done. One of the leading pioneers in it is Daniel Amen of the Amen Clinic. And he's done a lot of brain research, done a lot of brain scans. And he sees how negative thoughts, malicious thoughts, as those chemicals are going through the dendrite, you know, the trees in your brains. I mean, our brains are amazing. They actually can burn holes in our dendrite. And it's crazy what we can do to our brains in the way that we think and the conclusions that we draw according to our sinful nature. Interestingly enough also is how mercy and grace and thoughts of kindness can heal our brains. But our sinful nature can actually prey on us and hurt us. And that's why we see sermons to ourselves, and that's why we see Martha preaching a sermon to everybody in her home. I mean, she didn't invite Jesus there to get after him. That was farther from her mind. It did not even enter. But isn't it crazy how our thinking can go so off the rails? Off the rails. And it's our sinful nature. I mean, the devil's in the details, and the unbelieving world wants us to go in all those places too. But by and large, we have no one to blame but ourselves. And yet, keep these sermons that we're preaching to ourselves might also be called prayers. I know we're not used to thinking about this terminology the way we are today. We think that preaching only happens on Sundays. You're receiving all kinds of preaching online. You're getting it in the news. Not all of it's good. Some of it's just propaganda. How do you discern all that? How do you know if the people talking to you, preaching to you, are really telling you the truth? The good news is when our sinful nature is preying on our minds, consuming us, and we just see the darkness and the challenges, the Holy Spirit moves us from being preyed upon to prayer. Whenever we realize that our thinking stinks, Whenever we realize that the conclusions we're drawing are awfully ambitious or awfully violent or awfully just wrong, who's rescuing us from our minds, our thinking, our sinful nature? Who's throwing in a towel of or a flag of time out? The Holy Spirit is. And that's when we need to say our prayers. Lord Jesus, I am fit to be tied. I am so angry, or I feel so guilty, or I'm struggling with my pride or my lust or my greed or my shame. I'm thinking about something years ago and beating myself up again. Lord, deliver me from me. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Amen. Amen. Simply because we're not talking to the one who can help us like no one else. Maybe we need to think about our talking to Jesus like preaching to him. Lord, do you see what's going on here? Do you see what's happening, Lord? Prayer is talking honestly. I mean, God has, through his Son, made a way for us to talk with him about everything and anything. He invites us to pray. And by our needs, he drives us to our knees to pray. I mean, how many times have we started out with the best of intentions only to realize we're fit to be tied? And after doing everything we've been able to do, we say, well, there's nothing else I can do. I better pray. Well, why not pray first? Lord, I'm about to roll up my sleeves and dive into a lot of stuff. Start the day that way. In 1 Peter 5:7, we hear Peter say, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. I mean, think of all the ways Martha was anxious and being dragged about. I mean, it's a lot of work to cook in a kitchen. You want to have a happy cook or a crabby cook? Do you want to be a happy cook or a crabby cook? You want to be served by someone crabby or be served by someone who loves you? That's why we go to Jesus. That's why we need him so much, so that we can make a difference in our lives. And we want to make a difference. We were once dead and made alive. I heard the text earlier, how far off we were and how Christ made us alive so that we want to serve. We want to carry out our good works. We want to say our prayers. We want to work in love. The challenge is that we end up praying to other sources of what we think are answers. I know we're not used to thinking about praying to Google, but what do you do when you call up Google? You ask Google questions. Why not ask God questions instead? Well, it's not as fast, Pastor. Oh, is it? I mean, God has given us so many resources. Thank him for them. But ask him how to use them. I mean, when the power's off, you can't Google. When your phone is dead, you're not lost. Talk with God. Think about it. Talking to the right one is critical for healing, hope, and purpose. I mean, the one who made the ear can hear. The one who made the eye can see. The one who holds the far quasars in his hand can help like no one else can. And he can throw all those resources in our way so that we can use them. But who do we always need? Who is the one thing needful? Our Savior Jesus' love and his grace. His love and his grace. Oh, so we humble ourselves before God. Abraham's prayer is so profound. He says, I'm but dust and ashes. Jesus calls himself a worm. David calls himself a flea. We can think too highly of ourselves. And as we see our need for help, we can humble ourselves before God and say, God, have mercy upon me. Hear my prayer for Jesus' sake. I see how empty I am indeed. And God can provide. He can help. In fact, there's a fascinating scripture This is Proverbs 16:3 in the New King James Version. Let's read it together. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. This is the New King James Version. The NIV, I like the NIV fine, but it's commit your works to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Well, what if you don't have a plan? I mean, we oftentimes don't even know how to think about our thinking. So talk with the Lord. Lord, I'm working on something here and I don't see exactly what I need to do. But look, commit your works, roll your works. That's what it literally means. Roll your works to the Lord. Lord, I've got to get out of bed and face the day. Help me like no one else can, I pray. Or Lord, how do I get from here to there? How do I deal with this? I mean, the epic things in your life, pray about. In the small things, pray about. Ask the Lord for help. This is a promise. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. This is an ellipse in language by the Lord. It's kind of like the Beatitudes. Blessed are you who mourn, for you shall be comforted by the Lord. Right? Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established by the Lord. He can help you with your thinking like no one else can. He can say, well, why not Google? Why not ask your neighbor? Why not open up the Bible? It's amazing how God can open doors and make a way. And it's fascinating to hear how Jesus is praying and his disciples come to him and says, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. It's not like Jesus wasn't teaching them how to pray. Maybe his example of being fervent in prayer finally made a way and they saw it. And then they asked. And then Jesus gave the prayer. It's a wonderful prayer. It's the family prayer. Why? Because it's all about the plural pronouns. It's about us. Every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're praying for everyone else who believes in Jesus and a part of God's family. Why not say the Lord's Prayer in the morning when you wake up? Pray it for a table prayer. Pray it at night before you fall asleep in the arms of Jesus. I mean, think about it. Our Father. Our Father. You and I are God's family. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. All who believe in Jesus are God's family. Our Father. Give us this day our daily bread. All that we need to care for this body and life. I want you to grab a small catechism. Boy, the latest version is really pretty. Take it home, read it, grab an extra one. We have enough, and give it to someone in your neighborhood. Let them know about the basics of the Christian faith from the Lutheran perspective. Luther's work on the Lord's Prayer is just fabulous. How he explains each petition and what they mean. How many of you had to memorize all that? Anybody? There was a few of us, yeah. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us away from temptation. Deliver us from evil. He gave them this prayer to pray. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And with this prayer, he also gives some illustrations. And I tell you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And the one who seeks, find. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. That's a promise. The challenge in your life and my life is we have to say, Lord, I don't necessarily see how you're answering my prayers. Please open my eyes to see. But I trust as the promise maker and the promise keeper. Because I'm the promise receiver and the promise believer. And you keep your promises. He digs in a little bit more with more persuasion. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Wow. Jesus understanding our sinful nature that preys on our mind, that preys and messes with all the people, places, and things that are important to us and makes us sideways with them. He understands that even though we are evil and we give good things, how much more the Father, who loves us for the sake of his Son, And you know, I know prayer is hard. Sometimes it's as simple as putting a chair and just saying, okay, I need to talk. And then, like, Jesus is always with us, right? So just have him in the chair and say, Lord, we need to talk. Or, Lord, this is killing me. What am I supposed to do? I mean, you don't have to type it on your phone. All you have to do is just talk about it. Have a chair next to your bed. Wait, when you wake up in the middle of the night, say, I'm sure glad you're here, Lord. Let's talk. Let's talk. I mean, he's always there, always willing to listen. No wonder the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. How valuable it is. All the untapped potential that God gives us. All the blessings. Perhaps you're like me today, realizing and saying, Lord, teach us to pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.